Church, the subtitle for today's message is that question, now what? You believe that your faith is strong. You don't doubt the things that you have been taught. You try with the best of your ability to live the life that God would have you to live. You believe, now what? Is it the end of the discussion? Is it time to move on and file the objective away? Well, the answer is no. Because here's the question. What are we going to do knowing that we will make it in? If I know that I'm going to make it in, that I don't have a wicked heart of unbelief, that I'm going to receive what God promised me, if I know that, what am I going to do next? What am I going to do being the believer that I am? Church, this is what we're going to do. We're going to fight against unbelief. See, it's not enough that I believe. When unbelief is devastating our homes and our families, it's not enough that I believe. When unbelief is corrupting the church. See, God called us to save our house. So we have to fight. That's what he's called us to do. Church, every now and then, God gives us a message that is simply a call to action. That's what this message is. It is a call to action. It is a reminder that we have been called to address all that is happening around us. God called us to save our house. And to do that, we must fight. We have to fight against unbelief. We have to fight against the unbelief that threatens to overtake our people. Church, that brings us to our points for this morning. We have three very simple points for today's message. We must fight against unbelief, point number one, in our family. We must fight against unbelief in our family. Church, there is unbelief in our family. And if we stop long enough to look and to listen, we will see it and we will hear it. We will see it and we will hear it from the people that we love. See, these are the people that we love who grew up in the church with us, but now attack the church, expressing nothing but contempt for the church. It's unbelief. The people that we love that have withdrawn themselves from the church and blame it on everything and everyone else. Well, I just don't like that church. I don't like how they do service. Somebody offended me. Somebody said something to me. I don't like the pastor. I don't like what she said. It is everybody else's fault for why I have withdrawn. These are the people that we love. The people that we love who show up to church every now and then but cannot seem to stay committed. The people that we love who talk about God and spirituality but never Jesus. These are the people that we love. The people that we love, our family, who want to argue and question the Bible while living an openly foul life. See, there are seeds of unbelief. But they insist that they are all right with God. They insist that they are all right with God, and we go right along with it. Even if they show no sign, no indication of being born again. Why is it that we go right along with what they say? I'm all right with God. We go along with what they say because at some point they went to an altar. And because they went to an altar, we are satisfied. We tell ourselves, well, at least they prayed the prayer of salvation. But we forget then you have to mean the prayer when you pray it. See, you can't just pray the prayer of salvation and voila. You have to mean what you say. See, Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That word believe means to adhere to, trust in, and rely on. It's more than just acknowledge. It's adhere to, trust in, and rely on. See, I have to believe in my heart the words that I confess. That means that in reality, I must surrender my life to Jesus Christ. And when I surrender my life to Jesus Christ, then I'm changed. I'm not changed just because I said a prayer. I'm changed because I believe the prayer that I prayed. Because as I prayed, I gave the whole of my life over to a living God. See, just praying the prayer, that's not it. Don't just assume salvation. Look at the indicators. What are the indicators telling you in your family? What are the indicators suggesting? If we look at the indicators, they suggest that there is unbelief in our family. Pastor, what do we do then? Preach Jesus. Preach Jesus with clarity. Clearly. Well, I don't know what to say. Preach the Jesus you have been taught. That's what you say. Preach what you have been taught. We spent an entire year learning why Jesus. Learning how to always be able to give an answer to every man who asks why there is hope on the inside of us. We spent an entire year learning. Preach that. Preach the Jesus that you have been taught. Open up your notes. Read them. Memorize them. And then preach that. Preach the Jesus that you believe. Preach the one who saved you. Tell people what God did for you when you accepted Jesus Christ. Tell people how he saved you, how he changed you, how he freed you, how he gave you peace and joy, contentment, how he turned your life around. Preach the Jesus that you believe. Pastor, I just don't know. You know, I'm just not good at that. I just don't think I can do it. Yes, you can. You can if you try, but you have to be willing. Have to be willing. I have to have a willing heart. Have to have a made-up mind. Have to have a determination to do what's right and be led by the Holy Spirit and strengthened in my areas of weakness by the grace of God. If I am willing, God will show up. And I don't need to be eloquent. Just need to be right. Just need to say the right thing because there is power in the gospel message. Preach Jesus. That's what we do. Preach Jesus. Don't preach your church. Do we invite people to church? Absolutely. That's what we ought to do. But that's not the message. Preach Jesus. Not your church. Not your pastor. Well, you have to come hear my pastor. You have to come meet my pastor. I can't save nobody. Preach Jesus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And after I preach Jesus, keep preaching until I see evidence of change. Well, Pastor, you always tell us we can't know anyone's heart. That is true. But the Bible says that a tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And a person who is saved experiences change. Church, a person who is saved experiences change. Salvation is a free gift of God, but it is a gift that always changes. It changed you. changed me. There were people who looked at us and said, they can't be changed. But it did. It always changes. And if I don't see the fruit of salvation, which is change, I have to keep on preaching. Church, we have loved ones in our family, people in our life who think that they are okay. And they think they're okay because we won't tell them otherwise. How long are we going to put off the work? How long are we going to do nothing and pretend like everything is okay? When we know on the inside, this is not right. How long are we going to put off the work? The longer we put the work off, the further our families drift and drift and drift into unbelief. The more they drift into unbelief, the greater ruin we see and experience. Church, we must fight against unbelief. We must fight against unbelief in our family. Then we must fight against unbelief, point number two, in our children. We must fight against unbelief in our children. Church, there is unbelief in our children. Well, Pastor, which children are you talking about? Our children who come to church and our children we allow to stay at home. Unbelief. There's unbelief in our children who come to church and our children that we let stay at home. And it's a serious problem. It's a serious problem because we are comfortable assuming that our children believe what we believe. We're just comfortable. We don't pay attention to the warning signs of unbelief in them. We don't question them when they engage in questionable behavior. We just chalk it up to, well, you know, that's how children are. Well, you know, that's how teenagers are. Well, you know, that's how young adults are. No, that's not how young adults are. That's not how teenagers are. That's not how children are. Our children, our teenagers, our young adults can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We are just looking past their unbelief. We don't challenge them. We don't question them when they do questionable things. And we don't challenge them when they say things that are contrary to our faith. We just sigh and walk away. Roll our eyes and walk away. Say, get out of my face, walk away. We just assume. We assume that they believe what we believe. And we are comfortable assuming that they believe what we believe because we expose them to Christian things. We expose them. We don't teach them, but we expose them. We bring them to church. We put them in Christian activities. We make them come to Christian fellowships. We send them on the Youth Institute. See, I'm going to do my part. We just send them on, say, I've done my job. We're not really teaching them Jesus. We're not getting in their face and getting in their business and saying, what's going on? We're not asking them, why did you say what you said? We're not walking with them, talking with them along the way. We are too busy with our own priorities to really teach our children who Jesus is, and we are too busy with our priorities to hear when the Holy Ghost tells us something is wrong. Because that's what the Holy Spirit is going to do, because I'm the parent. He's going to say something is wrong. Something needs to be addressed, because I'm not giving my children what they need. I expose them. But I'm not really teaching Jesus. But if I have not given my children Jesus, what have I given them?